Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, please. Hebrews chapter 10, it's good to be back. I was beginning to think Brother Muncy didn't love me anymore. It's been so long, but I don't think that was the reason. Folks, you might as well smile. It's all coming to an end soon. It's called the blessed hope for a reason. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies. I'm looking for an upgrade. I'm looking for an upgrade. Thank you very much. Amen. I'm not a kid anymore. You say, Brother Griffiths, you look just fine. You look spry. Tell my body that. My head says I'm 35. My humor says I'm 10. And my body says, you still alive? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 10. I brought some brochures, please. Sitting there thinking, Brother Muncy asked me if we've been keeping busy. And I want to say, yes, we've been keeping very busy. God has been good to us. I preached, this will be the sixth time I've preached this week. Four nights over in Pikeville. I drove backwards and forwards to that meeting every night. 20 hours this week I've been on the road just for that one meeting. Rested on Thursday, got in our car Friday afternoon, drove to Greenbrier, Tennessee, just north of Nashville, preached a youth rally. Over 100 and some odd young people into place. Two of them got saved and got in a car and drove back home. Rested a little bit yesterday. Got up this morning and come to be with you. And we have been someplace every week with the exception of January the 8th since the beginning of the year. Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, Indiana, and Ohio. And here I am. And I think it goes with my message. This is the good foundation for the message this morning. Here I am, 72 years old. And most people are looking for a place to sit down. And I'm looking for another fight to get in. I want another opportunity to preach. We're going into our 39th season at Camp Victory. 39 years. Imagine that. We've literally seen, there's a young man here. I don't want to embarrass him, but he's already, Jake Miller, come up to me this morning before the service and told me. He asked me, did I remember him? He had a beard. He didn't have a beard 15 years ago. And he just a little bit older, but he told me that he was saved at Camp Victory when he was 15 years old. And honestly, that was the best thing that happened to me today, to hear that. And I brought some brochures. I would love to encourage you. We're just an hour and 20 minutes down the road. We only charge $100 per camper for one whole week. Now, I don't know where you send your kids, but I know this for a fact. I know places that charge three times that much. Somebody shake your little head either way. Let me know that you're awake. We started charging young people. 39 years ago, it was $45 for a week of camp. We've just barely doubled it in 40 years. Why? We want to reach this generation for Christ. And we don't want money to be the reason why somebody can't come to Camp Victory. Someone like Jake Miller might come to camp, get saved, and their future, not just their eternity, but their future gets changed. We would like for you to consider us. And like I said, we're not too far away. $100 for 5 days and five nights. We feed them. We have a swimming pool. We have comfortable sleeping facilities. Plenty of activities to keep them busy during the day. And we'd love to have it. Hebrews chapter 10. I want to start reading with verse 19. We're going to get most of our thoughts out of this passage of scripture this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. Having therefore boldness, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Here's number one. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And here's my text for this morning. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. Walked in the door this morning, saw your sign, and God said, that's what I want you to preach. Not less, but more. As you see the day approaching, Father, please, for the sake of your glory, for the sake of these people, for the sake of lost souls, for the sake of our joy, revive us again, that we may rejoice in thee, quickness, that we might call upon thee, turning in our captivity, that we might go forth with weeping, and the bearing of precious seed, that we might doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. Revive thy work in the midst of the days. Have your will and way this morning, Christ. In Jesus' sweet name I pray. Amen. And so much, not the less, but more. And so much, why? As you see the day. Is there anybody in this auditorium this morning? Has not things changed drastically in the last 4 years? The devil has literally taken his mask off. He no longer has to hide what he's trying to do. I have three quick words this morning that I wanted to use this morning to describe. As you see the day approaching, abound, worse, and great. Jesus Christ said, because iniquity shall abound, the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We're living in a time, if we are against abortion, we are haters. If we're against, pardon me, this transgenderism, we're haters. If we stand for biblical principles and the things of the Word of God, we are haters. We don't love. But I'm here to tell you, we're living in a time when Christ said, when iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We're living in a loveless day, a wicked time. And it's not getting better. It's rather getting worse. Another word that is found in the scriptures, evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. Man, look at me, please, for the sake of these young people, at least adults, get with the program this morning. We're living in a time when these kids don't stand a chance. They don't stand a chance. And we sit idly by afraid to stand for the things of God. Evil men, seducers, waxing worse and worse, not getting better, but worse. It's not getting better. You know the sin of the church since COVID? You want to know what the sin of the church since COVID has been? Just can't we get back to normal? I'm here to remind you and me, it's not getting back to normal. It's not getting back to normal. Bless your sweethearts when we have parents that say it's all right to mutilate a boy. Parents in a school system that says it's all right to mutilate your little children and do it without. We can't sell them a pack of cigarettes without parental consent, right? Are we having fun yet? Well, I didn't mean to wake up and come to this. You might be thinking, that's because we want things to get back to normal. We don't want the nest stirred. But I'm here to tell you, folks, the nest has been stirred. Evil men already are getting worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And our response to all of this so far is not to do more, but to do less. The third great word, the third word I want us to notice this morning by way of introduction, and so much the more, as you see the day approach, Is it not the last days we're living in? Is it not the last days that you and I are living in? This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural. Where's a good one? Without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That word incontinent means worse. Uncontrollable. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You know why you want to get to, you know why the Church of Jesus Christ wants things to get back to normal? We don't want to suffer. We don't want to suffer. We keep it down. We keep it low. We keep it on, as they say today, we keep it on the down low. We don't want to be exposed. We don't want to stand out in the crowd. So we stand back and we keep it quiet. We squelch everything that we're supposed to do more and more of. And we're doing less and less. But the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, the devil hath great wrath and fury. For he knows he hath but a what? Short time. He knows he has. Are we having fun yet? Bless your heart. I can tell by the look on some of y'all's faces. This is a little weird to you. The devil hath great wrath. He's not calling time out. He's not looking for a place to get off and retire. He's not looking for his demons and his cohorts to be silent and do less. He wants them to do more. He's running out of time, and so are we. Abound, worse, and great. And our response to those three words in these perilous days in which we're living in is not to do more, but to do less. Has your Christianity abounded at all in 2024? And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can I give you three things that we ought to do more of? I might as well just do it. I got a bad left knee. I told myself, you don't need to be going up and down those steps, George. But I have a feeling somebody needs to hear this. Our first response to all that's going on in the world that we're living in today is to do less. Sit down and shut up, George. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. 72 years old, and people are saying, why aren't you retired? Why don't you sit down? Why don't you cool off? No, I'm here to tell you, I'm not here to cool off. I'm here to do more. And so much the more, which brings me to my first point. Let us provoke unto good works. We don't need less preaching. We don't need Joel Osteen preaching. Amen. We don't need Kenneth Copeland preaching. We need Bible. You say, I don't like that. We don't need Joel Osteen preaching. We don't need Kenneth Copeland preaching. You say, I don't like that. We don't need Joel Osteen preaching. We need men who will preach the Word of God and not less. I can tell right now, some of you are going, I'm not too sure I want to send my kids down to that man. Can I tell you what was said about me? This is not about me. It's about the Lord, and it's about us. Amen. I'm preaching. Listen, this is how I preach. If I have five, guess how I preach. If I have hundreds or 200, guess how I preach. If it's a junior week, guess how I preach. If it's a teen week, guess how I preach. I'm not driving 25 and 26 hours in a week just to give a little sermonette. Just to pat us on the back and say, go home and die. Not the less, but the more. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That's what I'm trying to do this morning. And I'm preaching one time at a church when it was Camp Victory Sunday. I came there to promote the camp. It was Camp Victory Sunday. And guess what? George showed up. And I preached. And some elderly gentleman, that's what bothers me. Some elderly gentleman went up to the pastor, didn't bring it to me, brought it to the pastor and said, is that how he preaches to all those kids? And the preacher said, yeah, that's why we like him. And he said, no, you don't understand. Is that how he preaches to those junior age kids and those teenagers? And the pastor said, you don't understand. They want to go there for that. That's why they come. They may come for the pool. They may come for the go-karts. But bless God, they come back for the preaching. And what this church and what every church that Jesus Christ needs more of and not less is good old-fashioned, heaven-sent, heartfelt, biblical preaching. Let us consider one another, provoking one another under good. Are we having fun yet? I'm here to remind us we don't need less. We need more. Is that not what the scripture says? Did I make this up? Is this my opinion or is it the opinion of the Word of God? And so much the more. Provoking unto to love and to good works. And so much the more. Let us consider one another. Provoking unto good works and to godliness. You know what stirs the heart of men and women's hearts? It's preaching. And we don't need less preaching. We need more preaching. We don't need soft. Listen to me. It doesn't have to be the volume either. As long as it's biblical preaching. As long as it's from the Word of God. As long as it does what? Reprove, rebuke, exhort. And how should we do those three things? Long suffering. For the Bible says be instant in season and out of season. Preacher, preaching is out of season. In 2024. Biblical. Acts chapter 2 preaching is out of season. And we'll preach when it's in season, but we're afraid to preach when it's out of season. Well, I'm here to say it may be out of season, but I'm still hunting anyway. Amen. I want to preach. Reprove, that is to convince. Rebuke, that is to challenge and charge. Long-suffering. It's like with Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I was weary of forbearing. I was tired of being long-suffering. That's what he said. He said, I'm tired of being long-suffering. But his word was shut up in my bones like a fire, and I could not stay. We need some more old-fashioned Jeremiahs whose the Word of God burns in their bones like a fire in their belly. And as those two men on the road to Emmaus sat down and Christ opened up the Scriptures, they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he opened unto us the Scriptures? We don't need less. We need more preaching. Can I give you the second thing we don't need less of? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, not wavering. We don't need less preaching. We need more preaching. We don't need less of what we believe. We need more of what we believe. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Wherefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have learned, knowing of whom we have learned them. I'm here to remind you, now's not the time to be silent about the things that we believe. Our faith, earnestly contend for the faith. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Hey, gray hairs, and that's who we are. These children don't need less of what made us what we are. They need more of it. They need that virgin birth. They need that sinless Savior, that crucified Lord, and that risen King. That's what they need more of. And we're afraid. We're afraid to talk about the resurrection for fear that somebody might call us a babbler. Acts chapter 17. We're afraid to talk about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, that somebody might say, you've denied science. No, I'm here to tell you that what God has spoken, that he has done, that he will do. We don't need less. Can I tell you why our schools are in the shape they are? They took the Word of God out. Amen. You want to know why evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived? It's because we have allowed the foundation to be removed.
And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I'll tell you what the righteous can do. Let's get back to the foundation. The foundation of our salvation is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's who He is that we believe. And look at me with your God-given eyeballs. Did you know that Jesus Christ said, if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. The deceivers and the ones that are waxing worse and worse want us to believe that there's many ways to heaven. But Jesus Christ said, I am the door. I am the way. I am the resurrection. I am the light. I am the bread. There's no other hope aside from Jesus Christ. We don't need less of Christ. We need more. Yes, my old cold heart is stirred this morning because I see a lack of the profession of our faith. We sit here in the friendly confines of the Landmark Baptist Church, knowing that within these confines, we won't suffer any persecution because of what we believe. But when we go outside these four walls, we are silent as deaf mutes for fear that somebody will call us crazy. Or as Acts chapter 17 says, call us a babbler. But God hath chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. It's the power of God unto salvation. And this generation of children don't need less of the Bible. They need more of it. More preaching. More profession of our faith. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, as I try to say, all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. What does the Bible say? We don't need less preaching, we need more. We don't need less profession of our faith. I'm here to tell you. Look at me. If I'm going to suffer persecution, if I'm going to be considered an idiot and a fool, let it be for what I believe. Not because I was a coward. And kids, look at me. Everyone that saw the resurrected Lord, up to 500 at one time, and 11 apostles all saw. And as John said, we handled the word of truth. We handled, we touched the risen Lord. Every one of them suffered for what they believed. And I'm here to tell you and me, nobody will suffer and die for what they know is a lie. They might suffer and die for what they believe is the truth, but no one will suffer and die for what they know is a lie. And I just say this, I know I'm about to run out of time. Did you know that at any moment, Mary, the mother of Jesus, could have stopped it all. The first time they came for her son, knowing what was in store for him, she could have stepped out of the crowd and said, stop, stop, it's all a lie. Don't beat my son, don't crucify my son, it's a lie. But I'm here to tell you, her silence is deafening. Down through the last 2,024 years, her silence rings like a church bell. Because she could have spoke up and said, it's a lie. But she didn't. Because she knew he was the truth. If anybody knew it, she did. And this, I love the song, Mary, Did You Know? I really do. I'm here to tell you, she knew. Because at any moment, she could have stopped it all. But her silence sent Jesus to the cross because she knew. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. If Christ is not virgin born, sorry, we don't have salvation. And the rest of the Word of God is a lie. And His death on the cross was no more than the two thieves that died with Him. Just another death of a criminal. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says not less of our profession of faith, but more. As you see the day approaching. And last of all, we don't need less preaching. We don't need less profession. And we don't need less praying. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. With a pure conscience, as the Bible says. That's talking about prayer there in verse 20 and 21. It's talking about prayer. And I'm here to ask you and me as believers, how much time do we spend in prayer? We've just about shut up, even in our prayer life. Even in our prayer life. True story. Young 18, 19-year-old boy was tired of living under the rules of his mom and dad's Christianity. He'd sneak off and do things in southern Indiana that, as a Christian or anybody, he shouldn't have been doing. And one day his mother and father told him he's going to have to do something or change. He got mad and stormed out of the house and said, "Fine, I'm tired of living here anyway." Kind of like the sound like the prodigal son, but this happened too. His father went to the barn. His mother followed him out to the gate, grabbed him by the arm and said, "Son, you don't have to leave. Just give your life to Christ." He jerked his arm out of his mother's hand and said, "I'm gone." And she said, "One last thing, son, one last thing. Every day at 8 o'clock, I'm going to pray for you." Every day at 8 o'clock. He walked away unscathed and unmoved by the fact that his mother was standing there with tears, promising him and God in the country that he was going to pray for that man every day at 8 o'clock. In the meantime, a few years had passed, and he became known as the slot machine king of Indiana, making thousands of dollars in the early part of the 19th century, gambling. And one night he was sitting with a bunch of men gambling in back some room somewhere. He assumed and he was convinced that the man across from him was cheating him out of his money. Kept watching how he was dealing. Kept watching this and that. Finally, he caught him in the act of cheating. Overturned the table. Literally overturned the table. Chips and money flew everywhere. And that man lay on his back with a look of horror on his face because he knew he'd been cheating all night long. And the man drew out his gun, held it over him, pulled the trigger, and it misfired. And just as it misfired, the clock on the wall struck 8. He remembered that his mother in Butlerville, Indiana, was praying that his soul would be saved. He looked at that gun, looked at the possibility of being not only charged for crimes, but murder, first degree murder. He looked at the gun, threw it across the room, said, "I've got a mother down in Butlerville, Indiana, praying for me, and I'm going to go home." And he hitchhiked and made his way back down to southern Indiana. He come walking across the freshly furrowed fields of that spring weekend. His mother, sitting on the porch stringing beans, looked out and saw her son coming back. She jumped up and said, "Howard, is that you? Is that you, Howard? She jumped up. The beans went flying everywhere. She ran out and met him, and they knelt down. He said, "Mother, mother, please pray that I can get saved. I need to be saved." And that morning, in that freshly furrowed field, a man by the name of E. Howard Cadle trusted Christ as his personal Savior. And he became pastor of the Howard Cadle Tabernacle. You could hear him every morning. If I've ever told this story once, I've told it 100 times. I've had gray-haired people come up to me and say, "I have milked a many a cow. I've eaten a many a breakfast listening to that woman sing. Ere you left your room today, did you think to pray? Ere you left your room today, did you think to pray?" We don't need less praying. We need more praying. These children that we claim we love, they need more of our prayers and not more of our money. They need more of our prayers and not more of our attention. Let's go get along with God and pray them into the kingdom of heaven. Not less praying, but more praying. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not more, not less, but more. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. You're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Honestly, you're running out of time. The day is approaching. Christian, if you're here this morning and you're doing less than what you've ever done, the scriptures are here to remind us, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Brother Griffiths, I know I'm saved. I know that Jesus is my Savior and heaven's my home. If that's your testimony this morning, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I know I'm saved. I know that Jesus is my Savior. As a testimony of God's saving grace, would you slip your hand up right now? I know in whom I have believed. Don't raise it if you don't mean it. Don't raise it if you're not sure. God bless your sweethearts. Isn't it good to be able to do that? It's because somebody didn't slack off. You're going to heaven because somebody felt like they needed to do more. Brother Griffiths, I could not raise my hand just then. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me right now? I promise I won't point you out. I promise I won't. All I want to do is pray for you this morning that you'll be saved before it's everlastingly too late. Brother Griffiths, I'm not sure I'm saved. I could not raise my hand just then. I need to know that Jesus is my Savior and heaven's my home. Would you slip your hand up right now? Man, woman, boy, or girl, whomever you might be, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me right now. Anyone? Let's all stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. We're going to have a verse of an invitation. Brother, you come do what the Lord's laid on your heart.